بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الحمد لله رب العالمين، نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه، نعوذ بالله من شرور انفسنا ومن سيئات اعمالنا، من يهد الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، نشهد ان لا اله الا الله وحده لا شريك له، نشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله، اما بعد. يا ايها الذين امنوا، يقول الله سبحانه وتعالى في القران الكريم، اعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، اتبعوا ما انزل اليكم من ربكم ولا تتبعوا من دونه اولياء قليلا ما تذكرون. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: بدا الاسلام غريبا يعود كما بدا غريبا، فتوبى للغبراء. الحمد لله رب العالمين. We praise Allah the Almighty. And believe me, brothers and sisters, we don't praise Allah enough. We seek refuge with Allah from the weakness of our own selves. Whomever Allah guides, black or white, Arab or non-Arab, male or female, young or old, whoever Allah guides, no one can misguide him. No one. And whomever Allah leaves in error, can no combination of people guide that person if Allah doesn't desire that person to be guided aright. I bear witness that there is nothing worthy of worship except Allah alone. He has no partners at all, not even a little bit. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, without a doubt, is Allah's last messenger. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to send his countless blessings upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his family and his companions. Yes. His great companions, all of them, and the Muslims everywhere. My dear brothers and sisters, in today's khutbah, I want to leave with us three prophecies that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave us. Three predictions. Something that was going to happen in the future. Everything Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah revealed it to him. He doesn't speak out of his own desire. If the Prophet said something is going to happen in the future, something will happen in the future. Why? Because he doesn't speak from himself. I want to talk today about three prophecies that the Messenger gave us sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the implications of those prophecies. First, Allah reveals in Quran, اتبعوا ما انزل اليكم من ربكم ولا تتبعوا من دونه اولياء قليلا ما تذكرون. Follow what has been revealed, sent down to you. Al-Quran. Follow Al-Quran, but don't stop there. Follow Sunnah. You can't follow Quran without Sunnah. Follow what has been revealed to you from Al-Quran and the Sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Follow it. اتبعوا ما أنزل إليكم من ربكم, from your Lord. ولا تتبعوا من دونه أولياء. And do not follow other than Allah, taking them as friends and protectors. قَلِيلٌ مَّا تَذَكَّرُونَ. Little, little, little is it that you give thought to this. Little. First prophecy. قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بدأ الإسلام غريبة. This is not a prophecy. It's a historical fact. بدأ الإسلام غريبة. Islam began as something strange. Strange. بدأ الإسلام غريبة. Islam began as something strange. وسيعود كما بدأ الغريبة. It will return again as something strange. فتوبى للغبراء. And give good news to the strangers. Blessings to the strangers. بدأ الإسلام غريبة. Islam began as something strange. Why? When the revelation came to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it was different from what the Arabs had known. Salah, zakat, hajj, sawm, prayer, fasting, charity. What is this? Inheritance for the winning. Justice, peace. Halal food? Strange. Islam began as something strange. Why you wearing this qimar? Began as something strange. Women looking different. Men looking different. Wearing beard, sunnah. What? Strange. Say, Odu, can I better ask? Is going to return again as it used to be. Ghariba. It's going to be strange again. I was in the University of Texas. Gave a lecture. A young Muslim came to me after the lecture. Imam Siraj, can't we celebrate Christmas for fun? Muslim, junior high school age. He was very serious. Can't we, Brother Siraj, have a Christmas tree? Why not for fun? You'd be surprised how far most of us are away from Deen. Most of us. First prophecy is that Islam began as something strange and is going to return again as something strange. Is it happening? Yes. Yesterday I was at a shoemaker, shoe repair shop, getting my shoes fixed. And as I was sitting inside, I heard someone in a loudspeaker, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. There is no God but Allah, and Muhammad is his messenger. And I said, what is this? I thought it was a parade. La ilaha illallah. And it was getting louder and louder. I said, what is this? I jumped out of my seat, and I looked outside. Where is it? And there was one Muslim man with a loudspeaker marching down Fulton Street, New York Avenue. La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. Everybody stopped and looked at this strange man. Strange. What is this? Strange.
The cops watched him.
Let's see. You know what? Had he been going down the street bopping and rapping with music loud, nobody would have said anything. Nothing strange. But because what was coming out of his mouth is La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, he looks strange. Brother Ibrahim and myself in London, we got to catch a flight. But if we catch this flight, we're going to miss our prayer. Right there in Heathrow Airport, we did our prayer. Thousands and thousands and thousands of people, these two strange characters, putting their head on the ground. Strange. Yeah. Islam is something strange. One young Muslim from Canada said, Brother Imam Siraj, I'm the only Muslim in my school. And yet, I wear khimar. Strange woman. Strange girl. Strange. Brother Siraj was invited to Congress to speak in front of the Congress. How should I go? Kufi? Khamis? Yes. Who's this strange looking man? Everyone else got suit and tie on. Strange. On the plane, everybody eating anything they want to eat. And the flight attendant comes by and pours wine for everybody. A little liquor. So, no, not for me. Well, aren't you strange? Yeah, this is a long trip from West Coast, East Coast to West Coast. Aren't you hungry? I can't eat that food. This guy is strange. Yeah. I was on a plane coming back from Turkey. Man sitting next to me, woman sitting next to him. I was sitting next to the window. The man sat in the middle, and the woman sat in the aisle seat. And this man is rapping to this woman, talking back and forth. I mean, rapping. You can't help but hear the conversation. Oh, yeah, maybe I can, you know, meet you at your house and all that. Find out that this man was a Muslim. But then she saw me. I had the little gadget, little electronic encyclopedia. So she started asking me some questions. But my conversation was business. Strange. Some brothers told me they go to school. They have classmates. They have co-workers on the job. And the women want to talk to them. They want to rap to them. They want to touch. And the Muslim said, no, I don't touch women. What's the matter with you? You strange or something? You strange, yeah. You know why? Because Bada al-Islam ghariba. Sayyidu, kama bada'a ghariba. Islam began as something strange. It will again return as something strange. You know what I want to see? I walk the city. I walk through Brooklyn, Manhattan, Bronx. And I'm going in and out of the stores, the Muslim stores, the Muslim businesses. I want to see something strange. I want to go to one Muslim business grocery store, and I don't want to see any bear. And that would be strange. I want to see one Muslim grocery store where there's no bear, no pork. That would be strange. I buy newspapers every day. I buy 4, 5, 6 newspapers every day. I buy Newsweek magazine, business magazine. Oh, I read the magazines. I want to see one newsstand owned by a Muslim where they have no pornography. I want to see one in the entire city. Wouldn't it be something? If somebody come in the news to the your Muslim newsstand and say, give me Playboy. And the Muslim said, I'm sorry, we don't sell Playboy here. That would be strange. I like to go on the Notion Avenue and see somebody go in a Muslim grocery store and ask for some drug paraphernalia. And so the Muslim says, brother, sorry, we don't do this. We don't do this here. That would be strange. Now, this prophecy implies something. The implications. And the implications can be seen in the next hadith. قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم This is a prophecy. لَتَتَّبِعُنَّ سَنَنَا مَنْ قَبْلِكُمْ مَنْ قَبْلَكُمْ شِبْرًا بِشِبْرًا وَذْرَاعًا بِذْرَاعًا حَتَّى لَوْ سَلَكُوا جِهْرَ دَبِّرْ لَسَلَكْتُمُوهُ فَقُونَا يَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ اليهود والنصارى وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فمن you will follow those who came before you step by step and inch by inch you will follow them even if they go in the hole of a lizard you will go right there with them You will do it, man. Qulna, we said, Ya Rasulullah, O Messenger of Allah. Al-Yahud wal-Nasar. Do you mean the Jews and the Christians? Do you mean we will follow the Christians and Jews? We will follow them? Yes. Amen. Who else? There's a problem. The two hadiths, the two prophecies hook up. You know why Islam is going to be strange? There's going to be 1.3 billion Muslims on the earth. 800,000 Muslims in New York City. 6, 7, 8 million Muslims in America. But most of them don't want to be individuals. They want to follow those who came before us, the Jews and the Christians. That's the problem. I guarantee you, think about your children. Think about your teenage children. Think about your families. You know what the major problem is? The major problem is everybody want to follow after everybody else. They don't want to be individual Muslims. You see, brothers, if you want to be a follower, you came to the wrong place. If you want to be a leader, you come to Islam. Because in Islam, you don't follow people's of fashion. You don't follow after what everybody do. They wear earrings, you wear earrings. They wear nose rings, you wear nose rings. They cut their hair a certain way, you cut your hair a certain way. They wear certain clothes, you wear certain clothes. You want to follow after the Jews and the Christians, and they have no light. Ittabi'u ma unzila ilaykum min rabbikum. Follow what Allah, what has been sent down from your Lord. That's what you got to follow. If you want to be a leader, then you give up, man, the people of this world, and you follow al-Islam, you follow deen. But I warn you, if you follow the deen, you're going to look strange. See? You know, well, I walk down the street. All of a sudden, you see the car walk by, come by. And the people in the cars, they moving and they People in the street, they start. Think, man, think what's happened to the people. Madness. All in the middle of the street, all of a sudden, they start shaking and gyrating their bodies. But, yeah, nothing's strange about that. I swear by Allah, when we were young, going to school. If we ever suspected, just thought maybe, a person was a homosexual, we would shun them. They're queer. Queer means strange. But now every other channel you turn on the TV, not only homosexuals, but bragging about it. And you can't say nothing against them. I was watching the news the other day. They had a report about the homosexual march in Washington. There's some big controversy, how many people were there. The homosexuals said, you better count again because the official governmental figures were 300,000. But let's take 300,000. 300,000. So for so-called gay rights. They said they had more than 1 million. There was a lot of people there. But I was watching the news, and brothers and sisters, I was appalled at what I saw. Men doing things with men right there on TV, broad daylight, man, and nobody's ashamed, and nobody's saying, what is this? This is strange. You know why? Now it's become a custom, and everybody's doing it. Everywhere you turn, it's a regular thing now. To see two men kissing, to see women kissing, it's so now so regular that it's lost the shock value. You're not shocked anymore. You just accept it. Well, that's the way it is. But the problem is, the ones who are supposed to be strangers are giving in. Yeah, you giving in, Muslims giving in. You know how you give in? You or we give in when we try to blend in, be like everybody else, dress like everybody else, talk the way everybody else talks. You know, brothers, when you go on your job, you're supposed to be different. I don't mean just your dress, that's just a part of it. I don't mean just having a bed, that's a part of it. That's sunnah, yes. But more than that, we are supposed to be different. Our conversation is different. We don't talk like the guys on the job talk. Most of them talk filthy. We don't talk about what they did, what women they had. You're not involved in that kind of conversation. Now, my question to you, brothers and sisters, do we want to be strange? Good news to the strangers. And that's why Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he took Ibn Umar by the shoulder and said, قُلْ فِي الدُّنْيَا كَأَنَّكَ غَرِيبٌ وَعَبِرُ سَبِيلٌ. Be in this earth like a stranger or traveler. You want to be strange? Come. I'm inviting the brothers and sisters to be strange with us together for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I want to walk the streets and see all the Muslim businesses. But I want to notice every Muslim business I see, I want to see something strange about it. If you're selling what everybody else is selling, then you've just given up and you're being like everybody else. A Muslim business must sell differently than other people. So Muslims don't sell drugs. He's a Muslim. A Muslim must distinguish himself from the disbelievers. So two prophecies. Number one, Prophet Muhammad ﷺ said, Islam will return as it was strange. And number two, you will follow the people who came before you, step by step, and then change. So even if they did the absurd thing like crawling in the hole of a lizard, you go right behind them. They doing it, we gonna do it too. A'udhu billah. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillahi wa ala sahbihi ajma'in. Amma ba'd. My dear brothers and sisters, I told you that today, inshallah, I want to mention three prophecies that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned. The first prophecy is that Islam began as something strange, and it will return again as something strange. Number two, you will follow those who came before you, step by step, inch by inch. so that if they crawled in the hole of a lizard, you crawl behind them. These are the Jews and Christians. Muslims are following after them. And this last hadith, I say it for last. And brothers and sisters, I want to admit before I say it that this is a profound hadith. I ran across it a couple of years ago, and I gave some talk on it. But now, I feel that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has expanded our understanding more. And I appreciate this hadith more than I ever did before. It's a hadith related by At-Tirmidhi. Subhanallah. Listen with the words of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then understand the implication. He said, talking to a sahaba, إِنَّكُمْ فِي زَمَانٍ مَنْ تَرَقَ مِنْهُمْ مِنْكُمْ أُسْرَ مَنْ أُمْرَ بِهِ حَلَقَ. Let's stop. Listen to this. Subhanallah. Akhi, really, brother? Unbelievable. إِنَّكُمْ فِي زَمَانٍ. You are living in a time. مَنْ تَرَقَ مِنْكُمْ أُشْرَ مَا أُمِرَ بِهِ حَلَقَ. If you leave off just one tenth of what you've been ordered, you're going to be ruined. Stop. You, Sahaba, he talked to his companions. He's not talking to us. You innakum fi zamanin, you live in a time, man taraka minkum usra. If you just leave off one tenth, ma umira bihi halaka. Just leave off one tenth of what you've been ordered, and you're going to be ruined. Now, you know, brother and sister, one tenth, that's you bat 90%. How many of you like to get 90%? You bet 90% yet, you fail. Why? You in special company. You can't afford to slip then. Can you imagine being with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? He told you that? Just leave off one tenth of what you've been ordered. Halakha. You be destroyed. You be ruined. ثُمَّ يَأْتِي زَمَانٌ. Then there will come a time. مَنْ عَمَلَ مِنْهُمْ بِعُشْرَ مَنْ أُمِرَ بِهِ نَجَاهِ. SubhanAllah. This hadith sounds very strange. Yet there will come a time when those people will do one-tenth, do one-tenth of what they've been commanded, and they will be saved. Why? I said to myself, why? Why? What does this hadith mean? Why? Why those who come later only do one-tenth and be saved, but yet those in that time, if you miss just one tenth, you'd be ruined. Why? Is there precedent that Allah marks occurs? Is there precedent in Quran and Sunnah that Allah gives one more than the other or punish one more than the other? Is there precedent from Quran and Sunnah? Yes, there is. Let's see what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran. Subhanallah. A'udhu billah.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Ya nisa'in nabi lastunaka ahdan minan nisa'. O wives of the Prophet, you are not like other women. You are not like other women. Why? Why are you not like other women? Nisa'in Nabi.
You are the wives of the prophets.
يا نساء النبي من يأتي منكن بفاحشة مبينة يضاعف لها العذاب ضعفين.
Oh, wives of the prophet, if you come with any abomination, clear abomination, I will double the punishment for you. Why?
Man, because you married to the messenger of Allah, and you ought to know better.
You have an example in front of you.
So therefore, wives of the prophet, be careful. You get double punishment.
ذلك على الله يسير.
That's easy for Allah.
But yet, whoever is obedient, إلى الله ورسوله, ومن يقنت منكن لله ورسوله وتعمل صالحا تؤتي أجرها مرتين.
And likewise, if you do the right thing and do good, you get a double reward. Now let me give you something from the Quran or from Sunnah to think about. And subhanAllah, it is magnificent. Brothers and sisters, you know, I thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the Quran. And I thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and I thank Allah for the Sahaba, his companions. Listen to this as we conclude. Qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, La tusubu ashabi.
Don't curse my companion.
La tusubu ashabi.
Don't revile them. Don't say bad things about my companion.
Talking about us who come later. Like to talk about Abu Bakr. You like to talk about Umar. You like to talk about Aisha.
Don't say nothing bad about my companion. Don't curse them. Don't revile them. Don't say bad things about them. فَلَوْ أَنَّ أَحَدَكُمْ أَنْفَقَ مِثْلَ أُحُدٍ ذَهَبَهُ.
If you who talk about my companion, if you spent gold equal to the Mount Uhud,
if you gave away sadaqah, charity, the size of the Mount Uhud and mountain near Medina, if you did that, you who laugh at and revile my companion,
he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam,
مَا بَلَغَ مُدَّ أَحَدِهِمْ. It won't even equal one mood of those sahaba, those companions. What do you mean, mood? Two handful.
Meaning, you want to give sadaqah for Allah? You want to spend jihad fi sabilillah? You want to spend? Okay, go out and go get a mountain of gold and give it.
That mountain of gold would not equal a handful of gold of one of my sahaba. How you gonna laugh at Abu Bakr, man?
And you know what? Now I understand now. If they leave off one tenth, they'll be ruined. You know why? You know why, brothers and sisters? You know why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not only blessed us with a messenger, but he gave him a supporting cast.
One man can't do it by himself, man. I don't care how good you are. You need a supporting cast.
So he has sahaba. You know why it's important, brothers and sisters? You know why? Because they laid the foundation. And when you lay the foundation, you have to pay the price for generations to come. They paid the price.
May 15th, the Muslim leadership are asking the Muslims around the country, come, let's go to Washington. Why? We want to have a unity meeting. Muslims all over America come to Washington, D.C. We want to talk about Bosnia. We're not going to Washington, D.C. to beg the government to intercede in Bosnia. No, we're going there. We want Muslims to come out. If 300,000 gays can come, 1 million gays can come, how many Muslims will come to Washington, D.C. to say, let's do something for Bosnia? Let's talk to the leadership. The leadership talk to the people. And many of you will say, no, I can't go, I'm too busy. I'd rather say, come, let's get some buses and let's go to Bosnia. Let's get some guns and let's go to Bosnia. But we're not there yet. So the next step, come, let's go to Washington, D.C. on May 15th. You know what? Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, 19 ghazwa, 19. 19 battles, jihad, fi sabilillah. The Prophet, 19. 60-something years old. Where you going, Prophet? Jihad, fi sabilillah. How many of us have done jihad? Yet if you were living at that time, the Prophet said, come, let's do jihad. If you make an excuse, you'd be wounded. But now, oh, that's just the imam. I know just much as the imam. I ain't going to Washington. I'll find me some reason. I'll find some excuse. I'll find some ayat. I'll find some hadith. I'll think of something, but I won't go. That's the way we are. Not only won't we go, we'll find a justification. A few years ago, 1986-87, we said, come, let's close down the crack houses. Some said, no, I ain't doing that. Why? How come you don't want to close down crack houses? The same complaint you had then, you got another complaint, another excuse today. So I'm asking you. Imam, we had an imam's meeting the other night, and I'm going to tell you the truth, the God's honest truth. His imams all over the country. They said, we want to take 50 buses from New York City to go to Washington, D.C. And the imam said, good. I said, bad. What you look like having a demonstration, you send us 50 buses from New York City. That's nothing, man. I told the imams, we got to bring 200 buses at least from New York City. Why? We have to inspire the nation. If we go there with a ministry, 50 little buses from New York, what you doing, man? You big majesty shorter, you 40 imams, and all you can bring is 50 buses, man? Get out of here. But the imam said, yes, okay, we're going no less than 200 buses. I said, imam, from Master to Taqwa, inshallah, we pledge to send 10 buses. 10 buses, 500 people. You mean someone, we can't get 500 people, man, to go to Washington, D.C.? We so weak, we can't even do 10%. And yet all the gays go to Washington, D.C., and you make fun of the gays. Let those funny people organize. They're organized. I'm saying let's give it a try. And if I ask you for $20 a piece for the bus, then pay $20 a piece. Those of you who can't pay, so no problem. We get some sponsorships of some buses. We alhamdulillah, one brother sitting here right now, said, imam, I will sponsor one bus. This is what we want. My brothers and sisters, I want to push you, inshallah, for as long as I'm here as your imam, I want to push you for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You may not like it, but you know what? I don't care. If I'm asking for something for myself, I don't mind you fighting me. But I'm asking in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the cause of Islam, to unite with the Muslims around the country, for unity meeting on May 15th, and when this khutbah is over, I want you to write your name down, say, yes, inshallah, I intend to go. Yes, I intend to go. I want everybody, brothers and sisters, young brothers and sisters, who want you to go. I'm finished. Why not? Take a day off and get in the bus for 4 hours with Muslims. We can recite Quran and Hadith and enjoy one another's company. We can eat on the way there. We can pray there. Come, all of us go together. We're not going for a picnic. We're going there for serious business, waiting for our leadership. to give us direction. Who will be there? Inshallah, all the leadership of America, Islamic Society of North America, Islamic Circle of North America, Imam Jamil Al-Amin, formerly Rap Brown, Imam Wallace Adeem Muhammad, the head of the what was named American Muslim Mission, the Magistrate of New York, all the Muslim leaders around the country going to Washington, D.C., asking the believers to come out. I'm asking this masjid no less than 10 buses. And I think that you will support me on that, inshallah. So, brothers and sisters, I say this to you. Don't follow these people. Our problem is we're following these people. I say this to you. Yom Jumu'ah is the day we ought to be here. Where are the 800,000 Muslims in New York City? Where are they? I tell you where some of them are. Some of our boys and girls in high school right now, in junior high school, they don't think it's Saturday. I defy anyone to stand here and tell me that they will, your sons and daughters will get more out of junior high school, or public school, Saturday afternoon in the school than in here. I defy one of you to say, well, he's going to miss science. He's going to miss the gym class. You mean to tell me you think Allah calls them to Juma prayer service and the Kufas call them to Kufa? We just don't think. We don't think, that's why we don't think. Get out of that school, boy, and get here to the masjid for Juma prayer service. Get out of the college on Friday afternoon, you come here. And when you start your program September, you say, well, Friday, I'm going to have a problem. So make my schedule very light, or don't give me anything for Friday, because I got to go to Juma prayer service. You got to put Allah first. But our problem is we put Allah last. You know why? We used to dunya. We used to jahiliyyah. You ever notice, brothers, whenever you've been in the dark and you come into the light all of a sudden, your eyes hurt. Oh, man. Yeah? The light is here. Are you going to bring us out gradually? But I have to let you think. Right now, you better start questioning everything you've been doing. Your diet, your food, your clothing, everything. You know why? Because this society, wallahi, I swear by Allah, wallahi, this American society is run by shaitan. And I dare you to defy me on that. Everything about this society is shaitan. And you will see, they will do everything the opposite of what Allah does. So now your daughter going to argue with you. Why do I wear a long dress? Because the Kufas wear short dresses. The people will argue with you. You have the light. And they got darkness. And they're going to argue with you. Because they used to dunya. They used to jahiliyyah. They used to ignorance. Everything is ignorant. If you keep this up, brothers and sisters, soon, men doing it with men, women with women, it will become common to see people and animals in the street. Down there, because it's controlled by shaitan. This country, there's a book out, Bunches, I'm finished. 1995, it's predicted by some scholars in these scientists that the American government is going to collapse. It's not going to know America. They're not going to know America as it is now. It's a top selling book right now. 1995, the collapse. Why? Interest. The government is spending so much money on interest. Riba. Haram. Haram. Whenever they have problems with monetary problems, they say lower the interest rate. Lower the interest rate. Allah knows the interest rate. Don't you see, brothers and sisters, Quran is clear. We are clear guidance. We are Surat al-Mustaqim. Don't follow them. Don't follow them. Ittabi'u ma unzila ilaykum min rabbikum. Follow what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed. Brothers and sisters, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us. May He forgive us our sins and guide us on Surat al-Mustaqim. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala strengthen us to follow deen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala strengthen us to follow sunnah. May Allah help us to love and follow Al-Quran. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us and love us and love, make us love to follow sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Oh Allah, please tighten the hearts of the believers together. Join the hearts of the husbands and wives and parents and children together.
And help us. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad wa ala duriyati Muhammad wa sallam tasliman kathira. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka anta samin alim. Rabbana la tu'akhidna nasina ta'na. Rabbana wa la tahmil alayna asran kama hamaktu wa ladina min qablina. ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به واغفر عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا أنت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك الرحمة إنك أنت الوهاب ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار والحمد لله رب العالمين.